რადიო თავისუფლება FM 107.4.
გრძელდება რადიო თავისუფლების მოწყობა ახალი ამბებით. ბრიუსელის დროის 14-ზე მოისმინეთ ახალი ამბები. მოკლედ, ბრიუსელში 16 ადამიანი დააკავეს საქართველოს სახელმწიფო უშვების სამსახურის თანამშრომლების მიერ დაკავებული პირი ადასტურებს, რომ სირიაში იყო, თუმცა ექსტრემისტებთან კავშირი მას არ ჰქონია. აცხადებს თვითონ რუსეთის პრეზიდენტი ვლადიმირ პუტინი დღეს თეირანში ჩავა. ამ და სხვა ამბებს ახლა დაწვრილებით გაგაცნოთ რადიო თავისუფლების ბრაგ სტუდიაში. მიკროფონთან არის ოქრო პერუხაძე. 16 კაცი დააკავეს ბრიუსელში ამ ქვეყნის პროკურატურის წარმომადგენლის ერიკ ვან დერ სიპტის განცხადებით დაკავებულთა შორის ვერ აღმოაჩინეს. პარიზში 13 ნოემბრის შეარაღებული თავდასხმების ერთ-ერთ მთავარ ორგანიზატორად ეჭვმიტანილი აბდესლამ სალაჰი. მისი ახლობლები და მეზობლები აცხადებდნენ, რომ ცოტა ხნის წინ ნახეს იგი, ინფორმაცია აქვს სირიაში წასვლის თაობაზე, მის სურვილზე. რეიდი გვიან ღამით გაგრძელდა, 19 სახლში ჩაატარეს ის სამართალდამცავებმა. საქართველოს სახელმწიფო უშიშროების სამსახურის თანამშრომლების მიერ დაკავებული დავით ბორჩაშვილი ადასტურებს, რომ სირიაში იმყოფებოდა, თუმცა უარყოფს ექსტრემისტულ დაჯგუფებასთან ისლამურ სახელმწიფოსთან კავშირს. ამის შესახებ ჟურნალისტებს აცნობა ბორჩაშვილის ადვოკატმა გელა ნიკოლაიშვილმა. მისივე ინფორმაციით, დავით ბორჩაშვილი აცხადებს, რომ კავშირი ჰქონდა სირიის თავისუფალ არმიასთან, რომელიც ებრძვის ისლამურ სახელმწიფოს და ბაშარ ალ-ასადის რეჟიმს. ადვოკატი გელა ნიკოლაიშვილი საქმის მასალებს სახელმწიფო უშიშროების სამსახურის კონტრტერორისტულ დეპარტამენტში ეცნობა, რადგან საქმეს საიდუმლო გრიფი ადევს. ადვოკატის ინფორმაციით, დავით ბორჩაშვილის ბრალს ოფიციალურად დღეს წარუდგენენ ღვთისმშობლის სახელობის კლინიკაში, სადაც დაკავების შემდეგ მოათავსეს. თურქეთიდან ჩამოსული ბორჩაშვილი 22 ნოემბერს თბილისის საერთაშორისო აეროპორტში დააკავეს. საქმე აღძრულია სისხლის სამართლის კოდექსის 328 მუხლით, რომელიც უცხო ქვეყნის ტერორისტულ ორგანიზაციაში ან უცხო ეთის კონტროლს დაქვემდებარებულ ტერორისტულ ორგანიზაციაში გაერთიანებას ან ტერორისტულ საქმიანობაში მის დახმარებას შეეხება. ღვთისმშობლის სახელობის კლინიკის ექიმების ინფორმაციით, დავით ბორჩაშვილს მენჯ ბარძაყის არეში რამდენიმე თვის წინ მიყენებული ჭრილობა აღენიშნება, რომელმაც ორგანიზმში ინფექცია გამოიწვია. ყირიმის ნახევარკუნძულის მოსახლეობის 3/4 ელექტროენერგიის გარეშეა. 23 ნოემბერს ხერსონის რეგიონში, უკრაინაში, მაღალი ძაბვის 4 გადაცემის სანძის აფეთქების შედეგად საგანგებო მდგომარეობა მოქმედებს ნახევარკუნძულზე და ქალაქებს სიმფეროპოლსი, ალტას, საგის, ასევე რუსეთის ფლოტის ობიექტებს გაზის გენერატორებით გამომუშავებული ელექტროენერგია მიეწოდებათ. მართალია, ყირიმი მოსკოვის მიერ არის ანექსირებული შარშან მარტის შემდეგ, თავის რეგიონს თელ ყირიმს უკრაინა ამარაგებდა ელექტროენერგიით. დენის მიწოდება უკრაინის ხერსონის რეგიონიდან მაღალი ძაბვის გადამცემი ხაზებით ხდებოდა. 20-21 ნოემბერს მოხდა ამ ხაზების აფეთქება. ამასთან იტყობინებიან, რომ ყირიმელ თათართა აქტივისტებმა ინჟინერებს ხელი შეუშალეს, მისულიყვნენ და დაზიანებული ობიექტები შეეკეთებინათ. გამოცემა International Business Times-ის თანახმად, ჰაკერების ჯგუფი ანონიმოსმა გამოაქვეყნა ექსტრემისტულ ორგანიზაცია ისლამური სახელმწიფოს გეგმები, რომლებიც მომდევნო ტერაქტებს უკავშირდება. გავრცელებული ინფორმაციით, მომდევნო თავდასხმები ტერორისტებმა შესაძლოა განახორციელონ პარიზში, მილანში, ატლანტაში, ინდონეზიასა და ლიბანში. ამერიკის გამოძიების ფედერალურ ბიუროში განაცხადეს, რომ ატლანტაში მოსალოდნელ ტერაქტებზე ინფორმაცია არ გააჩნიათ, თუმცა გაფრთხილებას სერიოზულად უდგებიან. აღსანიშნავია, რომ ჰაკერების დაჯგუფება ანონიმოსმა, რომელმაც ისლამურ სახელმწიფოს კიბერ უმი გამოუცხადა, ტერორისტების 5000-ზე მეტი ანგარიში გატეხა. დაბოლოს მოკლედ, რუსეთის პრეზიდენტი დღეს თეირანში, ირანში ჩადის გაზის ექსპორტიორი ქვეყნების სამიტში მონაწილეობის მისაღებად. ეს იყო ახალი ამბები რადიო თავისუფლების ეთერში. ჩვენი მოწყობილობა გრძელდება.
The Soul Lounge is now open and here's your host, The Lady DJ.
This week inside the Soul Lounge, new music from Life Jennings and an old school favorite from one of the most prolific soul, funk, R&B groups of all time. Plus, later on in the second half, Nikki Strong's conversation with Jody Watley. But first, Justin Timberlake and Michael Jackson. This next song is from the 2014 album Escape, which featured unfinished vocal tracks which were left behind after MJ's death, as well as new performances from stars who were inspired by the King of Pop, including Justin Timberlake, who does his thing on this song called Love Never Felt So Good. It's next inside the Soul Lounge.
Let me see you move. Come on, come on. Let me see you move.
Wondering if after all these years you like to meet
to go over everything. They say that time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Hello from the other side. I must have called a thousand times to tell you I'm sorry for everything that I've done. But when I call you, never seem to be home. Hello, how are you? It's so typical of me to talk about myself. I'm sorry. I hope that you're well. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time. So hello from the other side. I must have called a thousand times to tell you I'm sorry for everything that I've done. But when I call you, never seem to be home.
The latest offering from Babyface. The cut was called We've Got Love. It's from his new album, Return of the Tender Love, which will be his first solo album in 8 years. Now, you may remember he dropped a Grammy Award-winning album with Toni Braxton last year called Love, Marriage, and Divorce. Return of the Tender Lover is due to hit stores and online retailers on December the 4th. Before that, we heard from Joe. It was his contribution to the dozens of remakes of Adele's Hello. That one, I think, by far the most soulful. Speaking of Adele, her new album is set to break first week sales records in both the U.S. and the U.K., as expected. Just wondering, have you been able to pick yours up? You know, I'd love to know what you think about it. In fact, if you tweet me or you leave me a message on Facebook, we can talk about it. Just search VOA Lady DJ and you'll find me there. Coming up next, we've got D'Angelo. This is Untitled, Inside the Soul Lounge.
already got me right where you want me, baby. I just want you, man.
Is it just me?
inspired by good old-fashioned 60s style love songs. That was the latest from Life Jennings. It's called Always. It's from his album Tree of Life, which dropped over the summer. Stick around because we have got more coming up inside the Soul Lounge. Here's Chrisette Michelle.
Sounds of yesteryears to today's new soul experience. You are now inside the Soul Lounge.
Hello there, how are you? It's Shauna Renee, and welcome to the VIP room inside the Soul Lounge. I am so excited to bring you another artist who is on the rise. You definitely want to make sure that you add him to his playlist. Timothy Bloom is here with me today. Hey, Timothy.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Welcome to the Soul Lounge.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you are here at our studios in Washington, D.C., but you've traveled a little ways. You're based in L.A., right?
Yeah, right in L.A.
Yeah. Where are you from originally, though?
Military kid. Mm-hmm. My dad was in the military, so I was born in Texas. We traveled from Alaska to Tulsa to North Carolina. That's where I was pretty much bred, in North Carolina, raised there.
So. Okay. Did you live anywhere overseas? I know a lot of military families will sometimes be based.
Before I was born, they lived in Germany, but after I graduated, I moved to Germany for like a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, did I read correctly, though, that one of your parents was also a church leader, a pastor?
Yeah, my parents are pastors.
Both of your parents mm-hmm. were pastors. Were they pastors like in the military? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And I also read that in your house, I guess because of that, like it was all gospel music. Like there was no secular music.
All gospel music.
Yeah?
Yep.
So I want to let you tell the story because I've read so many, like I've read books and had interviews with folks and they say that's how it was in our house. However, I found way to listen to what I wanted to listen to. So I imagine because as we will hear a little later on, you are influenced by other forms of music mm-hmm. that growing up you found ways
yeah.
to listen to other
Absolutely.
Kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, from the Clark sisters, the William brothers, to like Shirley Caesar, like that was
in the house.
That was in the house.
Okay.
They were very, very strict. I was the rebellious child, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, I just remember the one time where I was kind of like fed up. We were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I packed a little, you know, runaway bag, and I was running away, and I took my mom's keys. I was a little kid.
Ooh, you were bold. Okay.
Yeah, and I went to the car, and, you know, just cranked it as much as I could, where, you know, the battery comes on and the lights come on and I'm able to hear the radio. And the first song that came on was Bob Dylan, Lay Lady Lay. So I was like, oh, wow. And I just sat there and I was, you know, just, you know, listened and got lost in it. And then I started flipping through channels and listening to all this music. And I just always wondered, why couldn't we listen to this type of music? You know, it's just all about love. I don't, what's wrong with it, you know?
So how old were you at the time?
I think it was like around 7, 8.
Okay, so you had a very basic understanding of what it was. But if you could describe, like, what was it about that music? What was it about that particular song by Bob Dylan or anything else that you heard that just resonated with you?
I think it was more the tone, the sound. You know, when you hear gospel music, you hear gospel music. You know it's gospel music. And like the first record was Lay Lady Lay, Lay Lady Lay, and it's just like, wait, what's this? You know, and I think for me, it tugged on my heart a little bit, and I just wanted to listen. And then Michael Jackson, and then all that stuff, you know, you start to hear, and then you start hearing about Prince, and then you start hearing about groups like High Five and all that stuff, you know, so it's like, let me listen.
Oh, now did your parents know, or when did they discover that you were doing this?
My older brother, started watching music videos when my mom and parents, they would go to work. So when we come home from school, he just has the music channel on the whole time, and we got caught. And my mom came home early, and she's like, oh, okay, so this is what you guys do when I'm not here, you know? So they found out, you know, obviously we're getting older, and
So then talk to me about that transition from just kind of falling in love with music, because I think we all do that. We're all fans of music, but not all of us are musicians.
Right.
So when did you discover that about yourself?
Well, I mean, I started playing drums. From then on, I wanted to, like, you know, do something inside the church that had a musical instrument. So I started playing the drums when I was like 8, 9 years old. And from there, my mom was playing piano in the church because we needed a piano player. And then one day, she came home from her piano lessons, and I just started to pick up everything she would play on the piano by ear. So that's when I started to play the piano in the church. And, you know, my dad would take me to all his sermons and stuff like that, and I would play. So now he's the musician, so we're going to have him in the church every single Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, right? So,
it paid off.
Oh, it definitely paid off.
Probably in more ways than one.
Oh my gosh, in so many ways. I just started to gain a level of, you know, respect for the music and a lot of musicians. This one guy, he used to play organs at the church by Anthony King, and oh my gosh, like that, I just sat under him and just pretty much studied everything that he would do on the organs, on the drums, the pianos. It was phenomenal.
And so many, especially soul and R&B artists, so many of them come from the church, and we hear it all the time. It sounds kind of cliche, like, of course you started singing in the church, but I think people don't realize how talented so many of the folks who are in church just for that purpose,
right,
are there. I mean, they're there. And I think I asked the artist Avery Sunshine this in an interview that we did before about the difference between singing in the church and singing sort of secular music on stage. And, you know, we know what the physical difference is, but like how it feels. Do you feel a difference?
You know, like singing, you know, like a church song and doing the stuff that I do on stage, it's all the same thing, because I want to pull from the same spirit that, you know, when I write these songs, I know it doesn't come from me, it comes from a higher power. So like when I'm on stage, like I like to tap into that spirit, you know, and I feel like the music, any genre of music, is called gospel. It's the good news. If you're spreading good news, for me, I think it's gospel music, you know. So I don't think it's a difference, you know, because I'm not, you know, trying to talk about anything else but besides either it's love making, trying to fix relationship. I had a bad time in a relationship, but it worked out eventually, you know, later on down the line. And My objective is to remain positive in the music that I'm doing and trying to put out. So, like, it's, I don't feel a difference.
And you are a songwriter. You write almost all of your stuff. And you've written for other people. Did I read that you've written for, was it Smokey Robinson and Ne-Yo?
Yeah. So my first major big situation was with Smokey Robinson. I wrote
Your first major situation was with Smokey Robinson. Mm-hmm. That's something to say.
It later on down the line, I was in, you know, placed in situations where Ne-Yo got a hold to one of my tracks and a production, and we won a Grammy on his Because of You album. And then later on, I wrote and produced a record for Chris Brown on his Fame album, and we won a Grammy for that.
So we have a multiple Grammy award winning songwriter inside the Soul Lounge right now.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, all right. Only the best, right? Okay. Well, why don't we hear something? Since we've got you in front of the keyboard, what are you going to play for us?
This is the single that I have out right now. There's a video with Herbie Hancock. He's playing my father. And I'll do a rendition of that.
Okay. That's cool. Please do. There we go. Timothy Bloom.
Right there, out far in the distance, I can see it so clear. It's what I've been missing. I'm like a rolling stone, it's coming down heavy. Just to get to your love, baby, you better get ready, 'cause nothing's gonna get in the way. The wheels are turning, still determined. I'm running through harder days. Afraid I might lose my mind and do something crazy. Pull the moon down out of the sky and tell you love me, baby. I'm like a raging sea, a scorch of a summer. Nothing like the devil, but I'm bound to take you under. 'Cause nothing's gonna get in the way. The fire's burning, it's what I'm yearning. Running through harder days.
Nice, thank you, Timothy Bloom. So the album is out now. It is self-titled.
Yeah.
Timothy Bloom. Now this is your second project because you had an EP, right? That was released 2010.
Yep, 2010. I had an EP called The Budding Rose that came out under Interscope.
Okay, and if someone wants to find it, it's probably still on iTunes
still
and all that. So then let's talk about the difference between that 2010. Here we are now, 4 years later. What's the difference between the music, the artist?
Well, this time around, granted, I've been blessed to be a part of like a major situation, you know, with the likes of Jimmy Iovine, Andy Slater's, the Timbaland and Polo the Don. And I just learned a lot about the business, you know. And so when we parted ways, I was able to like sit back, reflect, and just become more free in what I wanted to do without being boxed in or with all these cooks in the kitchen trying to, you know, add the different spices. You know, some spices were perfect, some spices were just unnecessary. So, but now, like in even an independent situation, it's just more freedom. I'm able to do what actually I love to do and not be put in the box or be set in some genre they're trying to box me in. So, you know, And for me, there's a variety of things that I love doing. I'm influenced by a lot, from your Jeff Buckley's to your Marvin Gaye, your Al Green's, your Nina Simone's, and I like to influence those things inside the music. So that's what pretty much you hear. So you have a variety for everybody that wants to like hear different types of music in this one album.
So because you have so many different influences, do some of them influence your songwriting? Some of them influence your musical sound? Is it a combination of all of that that goes into what you're doing?
It's pretty much a combination of everything, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, simple, super. It's like a rainbow of colors, like a rainbow of music. Yeah.
All right. So let's go back to the writing, though, because I'm fascinated by writers. I think songwriters are phenomenal in their ability to be so open and vulnerable about their own experiences. But I'm also amazed at their ability to write songs for other people. And I'm wondering, is it more difficult for you to, let's say, write a song for a Neo or with a Neo or Chris Brown than it is to write one for a Timothy Bloom or reverse?
Well, the interesting thing is, like, every time I get in these type of situations, they always ask me to write a Timothy Bloom song. So it's like, do you. Go and write whatever comes out. And, don't think about me or the artist, because even with Chris Brown, when he asked me to write a record, because he wanted to use one of the songs off of the Budding Rose EP that came out. And but obviously we couldn't do that. So I was like, I'll write one for you. But in that time, I was going through something, not thinking about Chris. Mm. So, and then all of a sudden, I sent it over and he loved it. So it was perfect timing.
I think that's what the beautiful thing is like about authentic songwriting. It's like we all go through the same mm-hmm. things.
Yep.
They may look slightly different, but if you're really being honest, mm-hmm. then anyone could take that song and find a way to relate it to whatever their experience.
Absolutely, I agree.
I think that's the beautiful thing about all music, but especially like soul music mm-hmm. and R&B music. do you have a muse, or is life your muse, or
everything around me? Everything around me is pretty much my inspiration. I pull from the skies, it comes down, Yeah, everything around me, life definitely is the muse.
Do you like get into a quiet room and light a candle and write, or, are you the one like writing on the toilet paper when you sit like in the bathroom?
That's where my best songs come from, is art is ironically in the bathroom for some strange reason.
Right.
But
that's where my best questions come from. That's why I brought it up.
We could be in here right now and like something will spark, and I'll just immediately, if I have something close by, I'll either jot it down and get it out, before it goes away, because creativity goes quick. So.
And yeah, I find that to be the case for a lot of people. They say if you don't get it,
it's
like
gone.
They'll wake up in the middle of the night and writing stuff mm-hmm. down like on the end table. Yeah, definitely. All right. Let's talk a little bit about soul music. Now, again, it is impossible to box you in because you are inspired by so many things. But one of the things I think that you do is perform soul music, what mm-hmm. we consider that. And there's been a lot of talk recently about the viability of this thing that we call soul or R&B or neo soul. And I've asked almost everyone where they are in that position. Is it still vital? Is it still alive? Is it still real? Or as I think it was Tank said one day, it's dead, forget it, let's find something else.
I think it's still alive. I think it will always be here. Like if you're in your true self and you dig deep into your core, mm-hmm. your soul is gonna come out. Some people are just on the surface. I'm kinda like, an introvert. Like I like to dig deep and then sing out. Not just sing out and then trying to find it later. Like everything, comes from here for me.
Okay.
So I can only speak for myself, because
sure.
when I'm on stage, like, I like to dig deep inside my soul. That's my soul. Like, and if people like to call it soul music, yeah, because I'm really digging deep into my true core, my true self to bring forth life and to the music, because I feel like without that, the music would be dead. If we're not coming from your true self or your true core, I think it's alive. I think people just need to dig deep within themselves to bring it forth.
Mm-hmm. And being an independent artist like you and so many others, it gives us as music lovers an opportunity to hear more, mm-hmm. because it seems like you have the ability to just put the music out if you want to put it out on YouTube or just put it directly to iTunes or whatever it is that you're using.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people, like, you know, that are giving them they're giving their all, you know, and that I feel like that's the soul. That's the soul, you know. And sometimes, you know, you don't see it because it's not exposed to music lovers, you know. Right. Well, luckily now you can go to a YouTube and find your independent artists or your underground artists that are like really keeping the soul music alive and really coming from this thing right here, mm-hmm. and it's just pouring out of them. Like, you could tell, mm-hmm. you could tell when a person has that true soul when mm-hmm. it pours out. You start to get those chills.
Yeah, the goosebumps. Yeah, definitely. Performing live. Now, mm-hmm. obviously, because we make a lot of money when we perform to large groups, mm-hmm. we like to perform to large groups. But all that aside, because you have a way of connecting, like even as we sit here and you sing, you have this way of connecting with the audience. Do you prefer a smaller, more intimate group, or do you like the larger crowd?
It's very interesting.
Does it matter?
It does matter. It does matter because I was on tour with Ledisi, and I was on tour with Janelle Monae and Fun and all them, and you know, those were big crowds, mm-hmm. and you know, you can feel the people's energy, and it was like, okay, I can get on stage and everything's cool. But like small, like, you know, like, bam, oh my God, why am I so nervous? I'm just shaking. Oh my God, I'm still the only one person, you
right?
know? So. But you can feel that one person's intimacy and energy like so quicker than that big, large of a crowd, where it makes you nervous because there's an extreme connection, you know, and mm-hmm. you don't know what you're fighting against,
right?
You know, so I mean, I like it all. Like, it just you know, makes me stronger. Just to
okay. Okay. Well, we have a pretty intimate setting here inside mm-hmm. the VIP room. Yep. So why don't we go ahead?
I'm nervous.
And have you go relax, take a deep breath.
That was funny.
And we'll hear something else. So what are we gonna hear now?
We'll play so this is a song called Diamond.
Okay.
It's called Diamond in the Rough. Well, not Diamond in the Rough, but I mean, it has that little line in it.
In the concrete jungle, I like to play, yeah. Danger all around me, where is my prey, yeah. The pain is bittersweet that ends in sorrow, oh, 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 oh. Protect your heart and mind and we'll see. Snakes around to get you. Oh, she's my diamond, diamond in the rough, safely put away in my pretty piggy bank. Yeah, she's my diamond, the sparkle in my eye, worth more to me than any money could buy. Bye. She's my diamond, my diamond, my diamond, diamond, diamond. She's my diamond, diamond. She's my diamond, my diamond, my diamond, diamond, diamond. She's my diamond. Break me off a piece and watch my profit. Oh, grow to love me unreligiously. For my fortune, protect your heart and mind, and we'll see through. The snakes are out to get you. Oh, she's my diamond, diamond in the rough, safely put away in my pretty piggy bank. She's my diamond, the sparkle in my eye, worth more to me than any money could buy.
by. She's my diamond, my diamond, my diamond, diamond, diamond. She's my diamond. Oh, come, come, come bow, shine. My diamond, my diamond, my diamond, diamond, diamond. She's my diamond.
All right, Timothy Bloom, I like that one. That's a good driving music, you know, window down. Yeah. That's nice, right? Singing about me. All right, so I would be remiss, because I think when we talk about artists, we've got to talk about the music, but aesthetics play a really big part in all artists. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like looking at the bling, like talk to me about what you have around your neck.
Well, it's not really bling.
I know, I'm just fooling. Yeah.
Well, these are all like, you know, handmade pieces that over the years I've just kind of collected. Mm-hmm. From people's energy. Like I was walking through New York, and I mean, obviously, it's the eye of the clock here, which is the face of time. This is a half of a face, mm-hmm. and there's the clock here.
Okay.
So we're, I mean, the face of time, right?
Oh, okay.
And this is Let Peace Out, Rafi, the designer, with the Bullets of Peace.
Mm.
And this is a friend of mine who handmade this in L.A. That I got, and these are all just, you know, actually this ring right here, my grandmother passed this year.
Mm.
And she was buried in purple. Like all her kids had all these purple ribbons to pretty much, you know, royalty, remember her by. And before I left to the funeral, a friend of mine, actually this lady I just met, she's like, oh my gosh, there's this ring I want to give you, right? Didn't pay no mind. Went out to Mississippi and buried my grandmother. Came back and she gave me the ring. I was like, thank you. I'm still mourning, not even looking and paying attention to the ring whatsoever. Mm. A friend of mine comes to my house. We're doing landscaping in the backyard and something says, look down. So I look down and there's this purple ribbon sitting outside of the backyard. And then the voice inside me says, look again. So I looked and I looked at the ring on my finger and there's this gold stone, just, I mean, not gold, but this purple stone just sitting on. Right. The ring, and I'm like, oh, wow,
yeah,
she's here. Yeah. Okay, so I mean, everything represents, you know, things I've, you know, just picked up.
Well, it's amazing how energy. I mean, I wear a ring actually right now that my grandmother gave me, and so it just carries energy and it kind of puts you and keeps you in a good place. Mm-hmm. So
your grandmother and my grandmother are chilling right now, watching
probably orchestrated this whole thing up there in heaven. Like, we ain't got nothing to do. Let's get these two kids together. So, all right. Well, before we go, I play this game with every one of the artists that I come in. They get nervous, just like you did, but don't. It's going to be really simple. Feel free to say it or play it, and it's what's in your ear. So we're going to start off. Let's say it's a Sunday afternoon, and yeah, you're out in the backyard doing some landscaping or cleaning or whatever the case may be. What are you listening to?
Biggie Smalls.
Okay. That was quick. Okay.
I am.
Yeah. All right.
Loud and loud. Very loud.
Oh, your neighbors love you, don't they?
Mm-mm.
No. All right. So it's Friday night and, you know, everybody's off work. You had a couple of drinks, you in the boo, chilling. Things are real nice. What are you playing?
A little jazz, a little Miles, Coltrane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, we all listen to music. Well, some of us will listen to music when we feel down, when it just seems like things have gotten to be too much. We're overwhelmed and we just need that something to kind of lift us out of that fog. Who or what usually helps you do that?
The one song that helps me do that is that Pharrell song, Happy.
Yeah.
I get happy every single time I listen to that song.
Yeah. Isn't it incredible how powerful that song is? It's so simple, but that probably will go down in history as the most popular song ever. I know.
I know. I mean, just being honest, I could play that song, bam, everything's okay again.
Right. Absolutely. Well, Timothy Bloom, thank you so much for being here inside the Soul Lounge. And thank you so much for being here with us. I would love it if you could just play us out with something.
Mm.
Yeah, whatever you want. Thank you.
You want me to sing too?
Yeah, I do.
Ah.
conversation with myself, going back and forth, picking the pieces apart, lining them one by one. It's made me realize that what's inside me is breaking me down. I've got so much to give and little to show. And if loving you now is my mistake, then I'll give it all up before your heart starts to break. It's not you. Possibility.
Special thanks to Timothy Bloom. Make sure you visit his website, timothybloom.com, for more information on how to get the album and where he'll be performing. And if you want to see Timothy and me inside the VIP lounge, make sure you log on to voanews.com/soul lounge for the video, which we should post very, very soon. I can't wait to meet you here again next week. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. Peace.
Radio თავისუფლება უსმინეთ ჩვენს პროგრამებს სადავო საკითხებზე.
ეს იგი როზა ლუქსემბურგის ოცნების შრომის კოდექსი არის შესული.
სინამდვილეში ეს არის ქართული ოცნების ამორჩეულთა საოცნებო შრომის კოდექსი.
Და გადაცემებს საკითხებზე, რომლებზეც მოქალაქეთა უმრავლესობა თანხდება.
ჩვენ გვინდა საქართველოში აბავშიროთ ევროპული ტიპის დემოკრატია.
ევროკავშირსა და ნატოში ინტეგრაცია არის ჩვენი სტრატეგიული არჩევანი.
რადიო თავისუფლება, ობიექტური მაუწყებლობის 60-წლიანი ტრადიცია.